Let's pray and prepare our heart for God's word this morning. Pray with me. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you speak to our hearts today. Lord, that here in your presence, we would hear the word of the Lord and it would have the power to change us this morning. Lord, I know that your word is alive and powerful. So I speak that today, Father, and I pray that today that the word of the Lord to us has the power to change us. And Father, I pray that those old strongholds and difficulties in our own personal life, Lord, that those walls would just come down in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us would grow, that by the Spirit of the Lord, we would just rise to a new level in our faith and trust in you and in loving one another. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in a series called One Another, and it is simply about learning to treat each other the way that the Bible says to. And, you know, when we do what the Scriptures teach, it's amazing how life-changing it is, how it can change our relationships with one another, and it changes the church. I believe our church culture should be determined by the Scripture and not by the society that we live in. There's a whole lot of Mac Church today. Have it your way, whatever you think. But I'll tell you, if you want to have great church, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about the body of Christ. You want to have great church, you do it His way. And we treat each other, we have the kind of relationships with one another that the Bible talks about. That's powerful, that's life-changing, and I believe it's world-changing. Because, you know, the world needs to know that our faith is real and that what we have is something that's genuine, that we show them that our God really is a life-changing God, that we're not just a bunch of people that got religion, but we're a bunch of people whose lives are being transformed by a loving God. So Jesus said in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He said, this is how they're going to know that you're one of mine. Not know that you go to church, know that you're religious. This is how they'll know that you are one of my disciples. It's your love for one another. And when we really love one another, I believe that's attractive to the world. When they see us love each other the way that Jesus loves us, well, that's a powerful thing. He said the world's gonna know. I'm telling you, it will get their attention. It tells them that we're real and our God is real. Now, the truth is that much of the time, the church at large has quite a reputation for fighting among themselves, for not being able to get along even with each other. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, in case you didn't know, I'm just letting you know that this is how we're perceived in the world, in this secular culture, is that we can't even get along with each other. Who are we to be telling them anything? And that's not the way it's supposed to be. No, they know that we're His by the love that we have for one another. We're not supposed to divide over petty issues. We're not supposed to look for a way to disagree over doctrine and everything imaginable. It's amazing the silly things that people find to argue and fight about. Let me just give you one example. Music. Oh, it's a hot topic. Petty, petty, petty. They say, oh, worship's not petty. No, worship's not. But the attitude of many people making it, well, it has to be this style or that style, that's petty. And that's not worship, by the way. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter what it is. So many Christians are at odds with other Christians, and they try to find a few that they can get an agreement with and be happy with, and hopefully somewhere along the way they don't end up parting company with them as well. God has something better, that we truly love one another, and we're able. Listen, you can't love one another if you can't get along. So we're able to get along with one another. How we need just to learn to get along with our brothers and sisters. So I have some good news and some bad news this morning. The good news is that everybody who believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior is going to go to heaven for all eternity. Amen? The Bible says that whoever believes in Him will have everlasting life. It's John 3:16. Well, the bad news is that everybody who believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior is going to go to heaven. There are some people that you can't stand that you're going to spend eternity with. People you can't get along with. I want to tell you, I've spent, you know, there's some people, I spent 5 minutes with them and it seemed like eternity. And here's my point. We need to learn to get along with each other here. We need to learn to like each other. We need to learn to really love one another here and now. I'm glad that when we get over on the other side and we see Him, we'll be like Him. You know, that has more to do with us than it does other people. Are you catching what I'm saying? That we will be like Him. Yeah, those annoying people, they'll be like Him, but we will be like Him. And He is loving and kind and merciful. By the way, I hope that you don't fall into the dangerous trap of judging other people and who will go to heaven and who don't. It is one of the worst kinds of spiritual pride when you disagree with people or dislike people to judge them and say, well, they're not really my brother. That when that happens, I'm telling you that you are the one with the bigger problem. But how we need to get along with one another. The world needs to see our love for one another. And they'll see our love for one another more and more as we live out all of the other one another's. We talked about being affectionate with one another. I just want to remind you, it's so important. It's not a little thing. It's important how we greet one another, that we say kind things to one another, that we express our love for one another. Be affectionate with one another in brotherly love. We pray for one another. It's the most powerful thing that you will ever do for somebody else. It's one of the most loving things that you can do is to pray for people. We serve one another in this world where everybody wants to be the big shot. We choose to humble ourselves and serve one another in love. We encourage one another. So much put down in this world. So much negative and tearing down all the time. But we are different because we build each other up. Lift each other up. Encourage one another. We bear one another's burdens. When we know that somebody is struggling, we step in to help. We don't judge. We don't shoot our wounded, but we bear one another's burdens. We are kind to one another. This harsh world, when we act like Jesus and are kind to people, it's a wonderful way to show your love. It's putting action to your love. We forgive one another. No relationship can last without forgiveness. And certainly all of us have been wronged. All of us have been hurt. And if you think that you alone have only been hurt this bad, I can assure you, you have deceived yourself. We all go through hurts and wrongs. And for Christ's sake, we forgive one another. There's several more one another's in the scripture, but we're just going to look at one more in this series. If we're going to love one another and get along with one another, we have to bear with one another. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, bear with one another. Some of you had to bear with me last Sunday. Did anybody notice that the message was like an hour long? I hope, you know, I was preaching on forgiveness, and I hope that you practiced it immediately after the service. So I'm hoping that this morning you pray for me so that you don't have to bear with me over that issue again, all right? See, I know how to get people to pray. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. These verses tell us that we're to do our best to keep the unity, that there's one body, that we really are supposed to be one and have unity. We can't do that if we don't bear with one another. To bear with one another means that we willingly endure with one another. It means that we patiently put up with the faults and the weaknesses of others, as our Lord has done with us. It's not that we begrudgingly endure one another. We choose to overlook their faults, their flaws. We choose to find the good in them. We choose to treat others the way that we want to be treated. Others. Others. Who are we talking about? Others who are annoying. Others who are weird. Others who get on our nerves. Others who are assuming and inconsiderate. Others who are full of all kinds of faults and weaknesses. We're to treat them the way that we would want to be treated if we had any faults and weaknesses. As we all do. We all make mistakes, not once in a while, but every day. We all need mercy, and we all need others to bear with us. In fact, we especially have to bear with those that think they're perfect. Do you know any perfectionist? Let me just ask you, do you have peeves? There it is, right there. You got a peeve? There's something that you need to bear with. You got something that just bugs you? You need to bear with. this is something that, you know, most of these messages have been for me, just telling you. And this one really is. This is so often I find myself getting irritated with things about other people. I mean, there's, when I hear people spouting some of this sloppy pop theology of the day, I get so irritated. I want to tell you, that doesn't mean we're supposed to accept sloppy pop theology, but we got to bear with those who have been deceived so that we can help them. I'm just telling you, it comes out in so many different ways throughout your day. See, this is really practical Christianity. This is something that you can live from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night, bearing with one another in love. It means to forbear. It means to show tolerance for, to make allowance for others' faults. Now, you know, I use the word tolerance. I know that's a dirty word in our culture right now, and to many of you, you know, that's what society says. You know, tolerance is a, well, that's in reaction to the other people that say it's all about tolerance. Listen to me. We're supposed to be tolerant of other people's faults when they annoy us. Be tolerant. When they're wrong, be tolerant. Have you ever been wrong? How many of you have been wrong and you know it? That's most of you. How many of you, the person next to you has been wrong? There, I got the rest of you. We've all done it. Now, here's the wonderful thing, the amazing thing, is that most of you know it. That's good. Because here's what that tells you. You're wrong about some things right now. Some of you are thinking, no, I've been wrong once, I won't do it again. Yeah, you will. I look back on some of the things that I did or said or thought, believed 10, 15 years ago, and I just think, man, how stupid. How much I've learned. And one of the things I've learned is that if the Lord tarries 10 or 15 years from now, I'm going to look back at right now and go, man, I didn't know much. I was wrong about some things. And so if you think that you're not wrong, I'm telling you, there's some things you're wrong about. And when you're being judgmental and you think these people are wrong, bear with. Love those that are hard to love. I know some people are easier to love than others, but to love one another, we got to learn to bear with one another because we all have faults. We talked about how that each of these messages goes back to the first of loving one another. And 1 Corinthians 13:7 says that love bears all things. So we bear with one another in love. I want to read those first two verses of Ephesians 4 again. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with others is part of living a life that's worthy of our calling. You see, we have to extend to others the same grace, the same mercy that God has extended to us to do less. You see, for us to not be willing and joyfully put up with others, that just doesn't tell people who Jesus is. For us to live a life worthy of our calling, we got to be willing to put up with others in love. So how can we do this? He tells us in verse 2, with all lowliness. Bearing with others requires lowliness. The NIV says humility. says, be completely humble with all lowliness. There's some weird, fang-dangled definitions of humility out there where they want to act like, you know, well, they take the humble part out of humility. I don't know how people do that, but let me just tell you, there's not much getting around this word, with all lowliness. Lowliness. It's being completely humble. Let me tell you why this is important if you're going to bear with one another. Because pride is such a problem. So much of the time when we are irritated and annoyed with other people or put out with other people, it is because we ourselves have been taken captive to pride. See, when we humble ourselves in all lowliness, we remember that we make mistakes and that we're not perfect. Here's what pride will do. Religious pride is real good at this. Okay, I make mistakes and I have faults and flaws and I've been wrong before, but not as bad as them. That's pride. You want to compare with somebody else and say, but I'm not as bad as them, therefore I have the right to judge them and be irritated and put out with them. I'm going to tell you something. God has the right to be put out with you. See, it's all lowliness, complete humility. Be completely humble. When we are humble, we put up with others because we know that we don't have it together. Bearing with one another in love requires gentleness. Gentleness, not a popular trait in our world today. And in our sinful human nature, when other people rub us the wrong way, irritate us, annoy us, many times we want to be harsh in response. But to bear with one another in love, it requires a gentleness to treat them the way that we would want to be treated if we were them. Our Lord certainly deals with us with gentleness. Even when others are maybe harsh with us, are you around somebody that's always harsh and angry? Bear with them in love. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's amazing what bearing with one another can do in our relationships to tear down the walls and help us just to really be close to one another. What if we were able to deal with all those little differences and annoyances and irritations and some of the things that maybe you think are bigger than that? What if we would just bear with one another in love? It requires that we are long-suffering. The NIV says patient. If you're long-suffering or patient, that means that you will be slow to react when others annoy you and irritate you. See, when we're patient with others, we can see that they are a work in progress. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's workmanship. I remember when I was a teenager and I had turned my life over to the Lord, I was still pretty rough around the edges. And I told my dad one day after having some issues, I don't even remember what they were, but I told him, I said, you got to be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. We have this promise from Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here's what we need to remember about others, that God is still working on them. And you say, but you know, they ought to be further along than this right by now. Well, let me just tell you something. You can take that up with the Master and give God just a little more time to work on them. And instead of being irritated, forbear with them. Because I'm telling you, when we're irritated with one another and we maybe even just want to stay away from certain people, you're not helping them. Bear with one another. Be patient. Be long-suffering. One man was at the supermarket. He had a small child, a baby, in his basket, and the baby was just screaming and crying. And the man was saying, just calm down, Albert. It's going to be all right. Just keep calm, Albert. And a lady standing close by, she came over and she said, sir, I just want to commend you for your patience with baby Albert. He said, ma'am, I'm Albert. Be long-suffering. Be patient. You see, sometimes when you're dealing with people, and it can be your family, it can be coworkers, it can be people at church, you just need to make up your mind that you're going to forbear, that you're going to be patient and long-suffering. It's the only way that we can get along and quit acting like what the world thinks of us and truly love one another with lowliness, gentleness, and long-suffering. We bear with one another. There's always going to be people that don't do what we think they should do or shouldn't do. You ever feel like if everybody else would just do what I want, the world would be a better place? Amen. Forbear. See, we can easily fall into thinking that the way we do things is the right way. Our perspective is right. And those who differ from us are obviously wrong. Now, I hope that you think that what you do is right and that your opinion is right, because it would be really weird if you thought you were wrong and held to that opinion anyway. But here's where being humble comes in, that we acknowledge that we don't know everything and we could be wrong about some things. And even if we are right, we should treat those who are wrong with love and forbear with them in love. Maybe they're not as smart as we are. Maybe they really aren't as wise or as strong, or maybe they really aren't as spiritual as we are. You forbear with them. When it comes to personal convictions and matter of preference, listen to what the Scripture says in Romans 15, 1 and 2. It says, we then who are strong. We got any strong people here this morning? Any spiritually strong people? I hope so. It says that we ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. It is not the other way around. Sometimes we think that the weak should bear with us. No, it's supposed to be this way, that the strong bear with the scruples of the weak. Not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to his edification. So when we bear with one another, sometimes we got to bear with people's convictions and opinions. So often we judge others. And when we do that, we're really the one with the problem. Jesus put it this way, it's Matthew 7, 1 through 5, he says, judge not that you be not judged. For whatever judgment you judge, you will be judged. And the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? And how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And when we get into the place where we are judging other people and we're angry, we're all irritated, we're going to straighten them out, we are the ones with the plank. Going to deal with their speck. You can be right about everything else, but if you're not loving, you're just wrong. And that's according to his book. You're missing it altogether. You can be religious to the core and be right in all of your doctrine, but if you're not loving, there's something wrong with your doctrine. So we forbear. We bear with one another in love. We need to realize that sometimes when we are so prone to not bear with one another, we are the ones with the bigger problem. Young couple moved into a new house, and the woman, this is a few years ago, obviously, the woman noticed that when her neighbor hung her laundry out to dry, it didn't look clean. And so she told her husband, she said, that lady doesn't even know how to do laundry. Somebody needs to show her how to do laundry or get her some good soap or something. Look, her laundry's always dirty. The husband didn't really say anything. Every so often, every few days, when she hung out laundry, the woman would say the same things again until finally, after about a month, one morning, she got up, and she looked out the window, and she said, oh, look, she must have got some new detergent, or somebody taught her how to do laundry. Her laundry looks clean today. Her husband just sat there for a moment, and then finally he said, well, you should know that this morning I got up early and went out and cleaned the windows. Sometimes, you think somebody else has a problem. You got a beam in your own eye. You're the one with the problem. You bear with one another. That's another story, all right? I think this is going to help somebody. Two monks traveling by foot, and they come to a river. And when they get there, there's a young woman there dressed in fine clothes. And she can't get across the river without ruining her clothes. And so one of the monks gets the woman on his back and he carries her across this river and sets her down. And they go on their way. After about an hour of silence, the other monk says, I can't believe that you carried that woman across that river. We're not supposed to touch a woman. It was still bugging him an hour later. The other monk said, well, I set her down over an hour ago, and you're still carrying her. I'm just telling you, sometimes we're the one with the bigger problem. When we think they're so wrong, and why did they do this, and they shouldn't do that. And that old religious, pharisaical attitude is way worse than what they did. I want you to understand, I'm not talking about accepting sin and being tolerant of sin. That is not what I'm saying. And when we forbear with others, we certainly are not talking about that you accept abuse or danger to your family. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, I'm not even talking about where you are being hurt and wronged. We talked about that last week when we talked about forgiveness. But what I'm talking about this morning is things that annoy you, differences of opinion, irritations, things that you just don't like. You bear with one another. You show grace to those who are wired differently than you. We all have to bear with those that are closest to us, our own family. We learn to bear with their faults and weaknesses. It's one of the keys to being married a long time. You learn to bear with faults and flaws. Now, I have it pretty easy. You know, when I start looking for illustrations in my own life, it's hard for me to come up with things that I have to bear with Carmen. And so I was asking her about it one day. I couldn't think of anything. That's really annoying, by the way. And she says, well, you know, I like to finish your sentences. And I was like, yeah, I hate that. And I get three words and you start trying to complete my sentence. And when it really irritates me is when she finishes wrong. I mean, if you're going to finish my sentence, at least do it right. That's not what I was going to say. That could be a thousand things. But if you're going to love one another and you're going to be close, you got to bear with one another. There's always going to be faults and flaws, all kinds of things. And when you get to the other side, see, we don't have the whole picture yet. When you get to the other side, those that you think you were bearing with so much, you may find out that they were bearing with far more than you were. So, are you quirky? Somebody thinks you are. I'm just going to tell you, as your pastor, some of you are quirky. In fact, some of you are weird. And we love you, and we bear with you. Now, don't get mad and say the pastor was talking about me. Some people are annoying. They just have that fingernails on chalkboard effect. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, I mean, some people, their voice, their laugh is annoying, right? And I'm telling you that we can either live where we're always irritated, always annoyed, always on edge around those people, or we can just learn to be humble, to be gentle, and to be patient, long-suffering with people, and forbear with them. I'm a fix-it guy. I like things that I can fix. But did you know that a lot of times with people that doesn't work? I mean, you just tell somebody, I'm going to fix you. I'm just telling you it doesn't work, all right? But so often, we think we're going to fix somebody else. You better leave the fixing to God and do your part. Love one another. Forbear with one another. So, what gets you? People that chew with their mouth open. Oh. I know that you can even find it on the internet that it's a condition that you have. That, you know, you have that it affects you, that you go berserko when you hear somebody smacking their food. You can either decide you have a neurosis and need treatment, or just bear with one another in love. Play some music. That's my recommendation. What gets you? People driving slow in the left lane. People riding my tail when I'm in the left lane. Oh, we have a list, don't we? People that think they're right, people that have poor hygiene. The Lord blessed me with a great sense of smell. I can smell poor hygiene at 20 feet. I'm not kidding. And bad breath at 5 to 10 feet. So I better move on. People that talk for 4 minutes without ever taking a breath. Do you have those conversations where some people, it's all one-sided, you just stand there and go, You're on the phone with them, you put it down and walk away and come back 10 minutes later and go, and put it back down. I don't know what gets you, what really bugs you, what your peeves are. But I'm just telling you, there are things that you do that others have to bear with. One more story. Many years ago, there was a boy that went into a little soda shop, and he asked the waitress how much a sundae was. She says, it's 50 cents. He gets out his change, and he's going through it, and she's getting all irritated because she's got other customers to wait on. And after a minute, he finally says, well, how much is just a bowl of ice cream? She says, it's 35 cents. So he gives her the 35 cents. She brings him a bowl of ice cream. And then he finishes it. He leaves. She goes up and picks up the dish. And when she does, she sees 2 nickels and 5 pennies laying on the counter, 15 more cents. See, the little boy could have had the sundae, but his daddy taught him to tip. And here she was, being so irritated with this little brat taking up her time. I'm just telling you, you don't always have the whole picture. We need to just bear with one another. Realize that person is somebody that Jesus died for. Now that's amazing. No matter how full of faults you may think they are, how wrong you think they are, that's somebody that Jesus died for. And if he can love us and bear with us, and certainly we can love them and bear with them. So what do you bear with? Do some people just push your buttons? Do you have buttons? You get your phone out and it's got buttons. You push those buttons and it does things. And do you know that most people have buttons? Certain things just really set them off. Other people do or say certain things and they do this in response. Don't be controlled by other people. Well, they said this, they really pushed my buttons. I don't have buttons. I'm saying this by faith, all right? I don't have buttons. I'm not going to be controlled by what somebody else says or does. See, that's the old life. That's the way of the flesh. We don't like this or we don't like that, and it sets us off. But instead, we should be controlled by the Spirit. And we certainly can't do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. But we certainly can do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. That we're not controlled by what other people say and do. Instead, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we bear with one another in love. That's just the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to give you just a few more. What do you bear with? Mourning people. People that are relentlessly cheerful. I know I've told you before, but one day when I wasn't especially cheerful in the morning, I'm heading out the door and Carmen says, have a good day. I said, I've already made other plans. It just came out. Tall people in the movie theater. People that don't know proper grammar. Oh, come on, I'm going to get most of you on board with this next one. people who correct everybody else's grammar. You get annoyed with people's grammar, guess what? People are really annoyed with you, you grammar Nazi. By the way, I'll give away a surprise, but I was planning on getting my daughter a Christmas gift, a shirt that says, "I'm silently correcting your grammar." But anyway, sorry, Leslie. I love you. Bear with me. Differences of opinions. Republicans and Democrats. I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to leave that out there. There's so much judgment and bitterness, hatred going on in our world. You're right and everybody else is wrong. Okay. You think that somebody has a lack of character? You think they're not spiritual? They have some annoying trait? Bear with them in love. If you want to improve your relationships in your own home, you want to improve your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ, bear with others. Be humble, be gentle, be patient. Bear with one another in love. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. And I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Well, Father, I truly believe what your word says. And I pray, Father, that you help us to be a doer of this word. Each and every day, all day, to bear with one another in love. I pray, Father, you help us to put aside spiritual pride, to truly humble ourselves. Help us, Father, to be gentle as our Lord Jesus, who did not break a bruised reed. Help us, Lord, to be long-suffering, to be patient, to give time for you to work in their life. I pray, Father, that you would show us and teach us and give us the strength, Lord, to live this out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to come for prayer today. If God is dealing with your heart, you may have realized during the message that all the while that you were judging someone else, being irritated and annoyed and thinking less of someone else, maybe you yourself needed a real heart change. I want you to know that you're not alone, that we all come to that place where we realize we've been wrong and we need to change. I'm so glad that we serve a God who can help us to do that. There may be some here today who just feel like you've been under this cloud of condemnation and guilt. I want you to know God loves you. He forgives you. And He wants to help you. And maybe you've come to this service today not ever having really put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He loves you, paid the price for your sin. And if you will invite Him into your life, He will save you, He will change you, He will bless you with an abundant life. So as we close out this service this morning, I just encourage you, whatever prayer need you may have, if you want prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.